certainly appreciate Max leading us in the singing of the hymn, "This World Is Not My Home." And that's what we want to take some time to talk about this evening. You see, the hymn, "This World Is Not My Home," it's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? It's a beautiful hymn that reminds us as Christians of the fact that this world we live in, it is not our permanent home, but rather we are just strangers and pilgrims passing through, waiting on our eternal home in heaven. So with that thought in mind this evening, and with the hymn, "This World Is Not My Home," pressed upon our minds, let's take some time this afternoon to examine some passages that refer to the fact that this world is not our home, along with some passages that instruct us on how we should conduct ourselves as we pilgrim through this land. And let's begin by discussing that this world is not our home, for the scriptures inform us of the fact that God's children are just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We just sung about that a moment ago, didn't we? We just sung about the fact of that this world is not our home, how we are just strangers and pilgrims passing through. And the scriptures even inform that God's children, we are but just strangers and pilgrims on this earth, passing through. We can learn about this there in Hebrews chapter 11. And there in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 13, speaking of the faithful patriarchs of old and of their heavenly hope, the Hebrews writer penned, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were," now watch it, "strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You see, again, we can learn from the scriptures that as faithful people of God, we long for and desire a permanent home, an eternal home in heaven. And as faithful children of God, we can have that hope of a heavenly home. And that with that hope, we realize that this world, it is passing away. And we are just strangers and pilgrims passing through on this earth. We also learn the fact that God's children are just strangers and pilgrims on this earth there, going back to the reading that Steve so ably gave to us a few moments ago there from 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 11. Notice Peter's instruction there to faithful children of God. He said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Again, as we can see from the scriptures, God's people, they are referred to as strangers and pilgrims, sojourners on this earth, just a passing through. And it is because of that that this world is not our home. Knowing that, we need to be mindful of how we should conduct ourselves as strangers and pilgrims passing through, awaiting our eternal home in heaven. We need to have a good idea of how we should conduct ourselves as we pilgrim through this land. And I want to begin by instructing us of the need to be mindful of the fact that as sojourners and pilgrims, as strangers on this earth, we need to be mindful of the fact that as Christians, we are not to be conformed to this world. Again, although we live in this world, as children of God, we are not of the world. Therefore, we must not be conformed to the ways of the world. We must not be like those of the world. We must not conform ourselves to their ways. We must not be like them. And that's going to include things such as not only our conduct, but in all things, in manner of our conduct, in our speech. We must not talk like those of the world. In our dress, we must not dress like those of the world. We must not conduct ourselves or be conformed in any manner like those of the world. We must take heed to Paul's instruction there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And we must not be conformed to this world. Knowing that as Christians, we must always deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Paul emphasizes the need for children of God to do this, as we see there in Titus chapter 2. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Titus, the second chapter. And notice, beginning there in verse number 11, these words of the inspired apostle. He says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now watch, beginning in verse number 12. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Stop there and notice that. Here the apostle informs that Christians, they're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But rather, they should live their life, they should conduct themselves soberly, righteously, and godly. He goes on to tell them why that's important, picking up in verse number 13 when he says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." You see that? That's why as children of God, as strangers and pilgrims upon this earth, that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's why we need to be a people who conduct ourselves, and we should live in a manner that presents a life that is sober, righteous, and godly. Because he even tells us the reason. Because Jesus Christ, he died for us, didn't he? He gave himself for us. Why? Paul will notice there in verse 14 that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Strangers and pilgrims, did you know that you're special? Did you know that you're special? You know that, brethren? You see, as God's children, we are a special people. And Jesus, he gave himself for us that he may redeem us from every lawless need. And that he may purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Hold on to those words of the apostle, brethren. Put them into practice. And as a stranger and a pilgrim upon this earth, always be mindful of the fact of the need to not be conformed to this world, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and also not to love the world or the things in it. Again, as children of God, this world is not our permanent home. As children of God, we need to be mindful of the fact that this world we live in, it is passing away. We need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful not only of the fact that this world is passing away, but also the fact that as strangers and pilgrims, we're just passing through. And it is because of that Christians must not love the world or the things in it. John emphasizes the need for this there in 1 John chapter 2. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 John chapter 2. And notice this instruction of John beginning in verse number 15. There John writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Why, John? Well, notice, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now that's serious, isn't it? That's serious. John says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But he didn't stop there, did he? He goes on to say, picking up there in verse number 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Again, that's serious, isn't it? You see, these foolish things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, John says they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. But again, he didn't stop there, did he? Notice verse number 17. He says, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." You see why it's important that as children of God, that we do not love the world? You can see that, can't you? And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the need to follow the instruction given by John there in verse number 15 of 1 John chapter 2. The need not to love the world or the things in it. Knowing that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Knowing that the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And knowing that the world and the lust of it is passing away. But we also need to be mindful that as we pilgrim through this land, we need to remember that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and that he who wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are you aware of that? Did you know that? You see, James makes this very clear there, James chapter 4 and verse 4. And there James asked. He asked, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That's a good question, isn't it? And by the way, do you know what James is asking when he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He's simply saying, don't you know that if you're a friend of the world, you're at war with God? Because that's what that word enmity means. It means to be at war with. And James is asking, don't you know that if you're a friend of the world, you're going to be at war with God? He goes on to say, whoever therefore wants to be the friend of the world makes himself what? An enemy of God. Again, let that grab your attention. Because I don't know of anyone who wants to make themselves an enemy of God. I don't know of anyone who wants to be at war with God. But yet James is making it very clear that, hey, if you conform to the world and its ways, if you love the world and its worldly lust, and you make yourself a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. We need to be mindful of that. We need to be aware of that. As we pilgrim through this land. But we also need to be mindful that as Christians, as children of God, as we pilgrim through this land, we need to be mindful of the need to lay up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Again, there are many today in the world who have the misconception that he who has the most possessions wins, so to speak. I venture to say you probably heard that in shop talk, right? He who has the most toys wins. Well, you know what? There's no truth to that whatsoever. No truth to that whatsoever. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we must not put our focus upon worldly possessions. We must not put our focus upon storing up treasures upon this earth. But rather we need to put our focus upon storing up treasures in heaven. Jesus emphasizes this there in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 6. And here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 19, notice these words of Jesus with me. There Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now watch verse 21. Because he says, for where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will be also. You see that? You see, we need to take heed to those words of Jesus. We need to strive as we pilgrim through this land not to be a people who are focused upon worldly possessions and storing up treasures on this earth. But rather, we need to seek to store up treasures in heaven. Knowing, as Jesus said there in verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But also, as we pilgrim through this land, we need to be mindful that as Christians, we are to set our minds upon the things of above rather than on the things of this earth. If we're going to be a people who's going to store up treasure in heaven, our mind, our heart's going to have to be upon heaven, isn't it? And in order to effectively do that, we're going to have to focus or set our minds, our afflictions, upon the things that are above rather than the things on this earth. Paul emphasizes the need to do that there in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Follow me, if you will, there to Colossians chapter 3. And I want just to notice these words of the inspired apostle here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Again, in context here, Paul is addressing Christians. And in verse 1 he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Again, as Christians, as children of God, we need to be mindful of the fact that we were raised with Christ. We buried that old man of sin, didn't we? And we were raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. We were raised with Christ. And because of that, we need to be always mindful of the need to seek those things which are above. Those things where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And we need to set our mind upon those things and not on the things on this earth. But we also need to be mindful and always keep in mind that as we pilgrim through this land, that this world and the lust of it is passing away. We talked about that a few moments ago there in 1 John chapter 2. And we learned there in verse number 17 of 1 John chapter 2. The fact that John says that this world and the lust of it is passing away. But he goes on to say there, but he who does the will of God does what? Abides forever. You see the contrast there? You see, as we pilgrim through this land, brethren, we need to always be mindful that this world is not our home. We always need to beware that this world, it is someday going to pass away, and the lust in it of it is going to pass away. But on the flip side of that coin, he who does the will of God is going to abide forever. Use that as motivation as you pilgrim through this land. Use that as motivation to remind you not to love the world or the lust of it, but to always be steadfast in the Lord and in His will. Be a people who do the will of the Lord, knowing that he who does the will of God is going to forever abide with God in their eternal home in heaven. But we also need to be mindful as we pilgrim through this land and be reminded of the fact that this world's not our home, because someday this world and the works in it will be burned up. Again, Peter makes us very aware of this fact there in 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, there to 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice these words of the apostle beginning there in verse number 10. There Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Simply saying, he's reminding us of the fact that there's going to be a day when the Lord's going to return. He's going to return apart from sin for salvation, as the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. And here, Peter's talking about that day, on how that day when the Lord's going to return, it's going to be as a thief in the night. Simply put, it's going to come at an unannounced time. He goes on to say, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will what? Will be burned up. Knowing that, Peter says, beginning in verse 11, he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. That's a good question, isn't it? We need to think about that and strongly consider that question. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hasting of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? I'll tell you what manner of persons you ought to be. What we talked about earlier. Sober, righteous, and godly in this present age. We do that, we're going to be prepared, aren't we? We're going to be prepared when that great day comes. And we need to be ever mindful of that, brethren, as we pilgrim through this land. And as we pilgrim through this land, we need to always remember, brethren, that as Christians, this world is not our home, but rather our citizenship is in heaven. Paul reminded Christians of this there in Philippians, the third chapter. And there in Philippians chapter 3, Paul, picking up there in verse number 20, he wrote, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Again, this world is not our home, brethren, but rather we are just strangers and pilgrims passing through, awaiting our eternal home in heaven. May we be ever mindful of that as we pilgrim through this land each and every day. And may we always be prepared for that great day when our Lord and Savior will return. And that great day when we will someday stand before him in judgment and give an account for the things that we have done. Again, brethren, never forget this world is not our home, but rather we are just a passing through. Therefore, may we always strive to properly conduct ourselves as we pilgrim through this land and await our eternal home in heaven. Maybe there's one here this evening who, as of right now, is not prepared if this world would happen to come to an end this day. Not prepared if your soul would happen to be required of you this day. You have an opportunity to get prepared. You have an opportunity to be prepared to meet thy God this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life in heaven, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this evening who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song Maxis Selected.